Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 431, titled Desert Flowers, Part 2, More on the Bushes of Arabia. This is a follow-up to For the Record program number 392, which was Desert Flowers, Part 1, The Bushes of Arabia. We're going to be talking about some of the business links between the Bush family and interests in the Middle East and some of the filigree that exists between the Bush family business interests and the recycled petrodollars. By the way, this is being recorded on October 27th of the year 2003. Before I get into the substance of the broadcast itself, let me remind you that within a week or so of the airing of these programs, there are detailed annotated descriptions of each For the Record program available on the Real Audio Equipped For the Record section of the Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com. It's recommended that listeners who want to utilize some of the text and call talk shows or disseminate it on the internet take advantage of this. And again, that's the For the Record section at spitfirelist.com. The heroic WFMU-FM is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. That sister station is streaming more recent programs at wfmu.org/Dave Emery, one word, DaveEmory. Older programs are available for download only at a longer URL linked both to the wfmu.org/Dave Emery website, the streaming website, and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website as well. And please take advantage of that remarkable resource. Now, we're going to be taking a look, as I said, at some of the business connections between the Bush family and the recycled petrodollar milieu that involves elements linked to the milieu of Al-Qaeda, to the milieu of the Wahhabi slash Saudi interests, and beyond that, at a deeper political and historical level, to the underground Reich. And if that sounds crazy to newer listeners, I can appreciate that. Do examine the Spitfire and WFMU websites for more information about that. By the way, in For the Record 432, the next half hour, we're going to be touching on some of the Muslim Brotherhood slash Islamo-fascist links to the milieu of Al-Qaeda as well. Now, the first major focal point of this broadcast is going to be Marvin Bush. Marvin Bush is George W. Bush's younger brother. We looked at him and his connections to Fresh Del Monte Produce, a company that is now facing litigation and legal investigations. Marvin Bush, again, the younger brother of George W., is also linked to a number of companies that have connections that obtained directly in relation to the investigation into September 11th. This does not mean necessarily that there is any criminal wrongdoing in connection with any one of these connections. It also doesn't mean that there isn't. From an intelligence standpoint, however, the fact that there are links between Marvin Bush's companies and not only companies that handled electronic security for the World Trade Center, for Dulles International Airport, from which one of the planes, specifically the plane that attacked the Pentagon, took off from, and for United Airlines, to which one of the aircraft that flew into the World Trade Center belonged, is more than a little interesting. And the fact that the company that was linked to this is the Kuwait American Corporation, and one of the companies that overlaps this, the recycled petrodollar milieu as a result, the fact that the Bush family business milieu that we're going to be looking at also overlaps the Riggs National Bank, which has some capital connections which do bear directly on the investigation into September 11th, is more than a little interesting. Bear in mind that the late John O'Neill, in charge of the FBI investigation into Al-Qaeda, had a briefcase stolen in the summer of 2000, which allegedly contained detailed information about every counterintelligence and counterterror operation that was underway in New York. That has been disputed by some sources. I have never seen that effectively refuted in print. Bear in mind that in the spring of 2001, John O'Neill had his investigation into the Yemeni links to the bombing of the USS Cole actively frustrated by a Bush administration's old girl, Barbara Bodine. Bear in mind that in the summer of 2001, John O'Neill resigned from his position out of frustration over the interdiction of his investigation into Al-Qaeda. He charged to the author of the co-author of a book that we're going to talk about in 432 that his investigation was deliberately frustrated by a powerful American corporation that had links to Saudi capital. Bear in mind, too, that on September 11th, 2001, John O'Neill had just reported for duty. It was his first day on the job as security director for the World Trade Center. He was killed in the attacks, which is a remarkable coincidence. And with Marvin Bush being connected to a company that not only was one of the insurance carriers for the World Trade Center and would therefore have had good physical information about the World Trade Center, something that could conceivably have been utilized by someone connected to the attacks, not necessarily Marvin Bush. But in addition, the fact that Marvin Bush's security firm not only handled contracts for the world, or a firm on which he was a member of the board of directors, or of which he was a member of the board of directors, the fact that it held electronic security contracts for the World Trade Center, Dulles Airport, and United Airlines, and their links to private aviation firms in Florida, these are more than a little interesting, what I call food for thought and grounds for further research, and I think it is altogether possible that some of these connections may have been used to provide concrete intelligence to the attackers. As I've said before, I believe that the paradigm in connection with September 11th was a very complicated one. It was not a mere provocation, but rather constituted an attack on the United States by a hostile foreign power, the Underground Reich, in combination with a very powerful fifth column that has the most profound structural economic connections to the attacking power, the Underground Reich. That's a mouthful. I've done hundreds of hours of programming and put, at this point, probably well over 1,000 pages on the internet. Please examine those if some of this sounds preposterous, and I can appreciate that it might. First two articles we're going to be looking at in connection with Marvin Bush and the capital filigree to the recycled petrodollar milieu inextricably linked with the milieu of Al-Qaeda. This comes from Margie Burns, a former resident of the state of Texas, by the way, an academic of some note, and she has been delving into some of the SEC records in connection with Marvin Bush. The first article was published, is authored by Margie Burns and was originally published in the Prince George's Journal from Maryland of February 4, 2003. It's titled, Bush-Linked Company Handled Security for the World Trade Center, Dulles, and United. I would note that HCC, an insurance company, was also one of the insurance writers for the World Trade Center. The article reads, George W. Bush's brother was on the board of directors of a company providing electronic security for the World Trade Center, Dulles International Airport, and United Airlines, according to public records. The company was backed by an investment firm, the Kuwait American Corporation, also linked for years to the Bush family. The security company, formerly named Securicom and now named Stratasec, is in Sterling, Virginia. Its CEO, Barry McDaniel, said the company had a, quote, completion contract, unquote, to handle some of the security at the World Center up to the day the buildings fell down, unquote. It also had a 3-year contract to maintain electronic security systems at Dulles Airport, according to a Dulles contracting official. Securicom Stratasec also handled some security for United Airlines in the 1990s, according to McDaniel, but it had been completed before his arriving on the board in 1998. McDaniel confirmed that the company has security contracts with the Department of Defense, including the U.S. Army, but did not detail the nature of the work, citing security concerns. It has an ongoing line with the General Services Administration, meaning that its bid for contracts are non-competitive, and also did security work for the Los Alamos Laboratory before 1998. Marvin P. Bush, the president's younger brother, was a director of Stratasec from 1993 to fiscal year 2000. But the White House has not publicly disclosed Bush connections in any of its responses to 9/11, nor has it mentioned that other Bush-linked businesses had done security work for the facilities attacked. Marvin Bush joined Securicom when it was capitalized by the Kuwait American Corporation, a private investment firm in D.C. that was the security company's major investor, sometimes holding a controlling interest. Marvin Bush has not responded to telephone calls and emails for comment. Ku Am has been linked to the Bush family financially since the Gulf War. One of its principals, and a member of the Kuwaiti royal family, Mishal Youssef Saud al-Sabah, served on the board of directors of Stratasec. The managing director at Ku Am, Wirt D. Walker III, parenthetically also a Bush relative, as we will see, was also a principal at Stratasec, and Walker, Marvin Bush, and al-Sabah are listed in SEC filings as significant shareholders in both companies during that period. Marvin Bush's last year on the board at Stratasec coincided with his first year on the board of HCC Insurance, formerly Houston Casualty Company, one of the insurance carriers for the WTC. He left the HCC board in November of 2002. But none of these connections has been looked at during the extensive investigation since September 11th. McDaniel says principals and other personnel at Stratasec have not been questioned or debriefed by the FBI or other investigators. Walker declined to answer the same question regarding Ku Am, referring to the public record. Walker is also chairman and CEO of Aviation General, a Tulsa, Oklahoma-based aviation company with two subsidiaries. SEC filings also show al-Sabah as a principal and shareholder in Aviation General, which was recently delisted by the NASDAQ. Stratasec was delisted by the American Stock Exchange in October of 2002. The suite in which Marvin Bush was annually re-elected, according to public records, is located in the Watergate Hotel in space leased to the Saudi government. The company now holds shareholder meetings in space leased by the Kuwaiti government there. The White House has not responded to various requests for comment. Speaking of the Watergate, Riggs National Bank, where Saudi Princess Al-Faisal had her Saudi Money Trail bank account to some of the San Diego-based hijackers, has as one of its executives, Jonathan Bush, an uncle of the president. The public has not learned whether Riggs, which services 95% of Washington's foreign embassies, will be turning over records relating to Saudi finance. Meanwhile, Bush has nominated William H. Donaldson to head the Securities and Exchange Commission. Donaldson, a longtime Bush family friend, was a Yale classmate of Jonathan Bush. On the very day of the tragic space shuttle crash, the government appointed an independent investigative panel, and rightly so. Why didn't it do the same on September 12, 2001? We've talked in the past about numerous Bush business connections to the milieu of Al-Qaeda, Arbusto Energy, eventually Spectrum Energy, finally Harkin Energy. We've also spoken about the Carlyle Group, and we've also discussed the Enron Corporation with connections to both Bushes, the fact that it was helping to broker an Afghan pipeline deal that apparently was known to the operations director of Al-Qaeda and may very well have been used to facilitate the attack on September 11th. More here about the Marvin Bush and Wirt D. Walker connections to Securitech or Stratasec, and also to HCC, that's the Houston insurance carrier that helped to underwrite part of the World Trade Center insurance. One of the things that's noted in this particular article off the internet and well-documented from SEC records or SEC documents is that Marvin Bush, in a couple of public record filings, was not listed as a director of some of these companies. This, too, is by Margie Burns. This is available off of the internet, and I will put the full URL in the description for this on the For the Record section. I would note that the documentation is presented by Ms. Burns here and is from SEC documents itself. This article is titled, again by Margie Burns, The Best Unregulated Families. It reads in part, in the spring of 1999, Marvin Pierce Bush, youngest brother of George W. Bush, was a nominee for the boards of directors of two companies, both with a significant interest in security at the World Trade Center. One was HCC Insurance, formerly Houston Casualty Company, a giant holding company and major insurance carrier for the center. The other was a security company named Stratasec, one of the center's numerous security contractors. Bush, however, did not list his directorship at Stratasec on the proxy statement for HCC and did not list his connections with HCC on the proxy statement for Stratasec. According to officials at the Securities and Exchange Commission and other experts, listing other directorships is required in proxy statements for directors and officers of public companies. Stratasec was eventually excused from the World Trade Center project. HCC sustained significant losses when the center collapsed after the attacks of 9/11, withdrawing from workers' compensation as a result. Stratasec, formerly called Securicom, but forced to change its name after some bad blood litigation with another security company, filed its SEC proxy statement on April 23, 1999. The shareholders met on May 25, 1999, in a Watergate office suite leased by the Saudi Arabian government to elect seven members, including Bush, who had been on the board since 1993. Bush was also on the company's audit and compensation committees. A principal in the company, Wirt D. Walker III, is also a Bush relative. HCC Insurance filed its proxy statement on April 28, 1999 for the shareholders' meeting in Houston on May 20th of that same year. It was Bush's entrance on HCC's 13-member board. He'd been on the board of directors at Fresh Del Monte Produce Incorporated since 1998, appointed by HCC's CEO and chairman of the board, Stephen Way, a longtime friend. The Stratasec proxy also omitted the Fresh Del Monte Produce, or FDP, connections. By law, proxy statements filed with the SEC for publicly traded companies list, along with other required information, the age, credentials, and business connections of directors and nominees. Bush's information disclosed to Stratasec's shareholders listed his ongoing directorship at Stratasec, his previous experience at investment firms, his partnership at his own company, Winston Partners, a private investment firm in Northern Virginia, and his directorship at Kirko, an oil and gas company. Only his directorships at HCC and Fresh Del Monte, where he was also on the audit and compensation committees, were omitted. The information disclosed to HCC's shareholders listed Bush's positions at Winston Partners and Fresh Del Monte, his membership on the Board of Trustees of the George Bush Presidential Library, and on the Board of Managers at the University of Virginia. Only Stratasec and Kirko were admitted. Bush left Stratasec's boards within the year. He was re-elected to the HCC board for the next 2 years, again, omitting the Stratasec connection. According to expert opinion, these omissions violate SEC regulations. Attorney Robert Pleznarski, special counsel in the Office of Chief Counsel at the Securities and Exchange Commission, said by telephone that a person running for the board of directors of a public company is required to list all other directorships. When asked about the proxy statements involving Marvin Bush, Pleznarski answers that if the companies had been private, probably the information would not have been included. However, citing Item 401 of Regulation SK, unquote, Pleznarski states that since Stratasec and HCC were publicly traded, the information would have been required, unquote. This conclusion is also supported by the SEC's Public Reference Branch. Regulation 229.401, Item 401, Identification of Directors, states, quote, list the names and ages of all directors of the registrant and all persons nominated or chosen to become directors. Indicate all positions and offices with the registrant held by each person. State his term of office as director and any periods during which he had served as such. Describe briefly any arrangement or understanding between him and any other persons naming such persons pursuant to which he was or is to be selected as a director or nominee, unquote. Again, farther down, indicate any other directorships held by each director or person nominated or chosen to become a director, etc. And, again quoting, briefly describe the business experience during the past 5 years of each director, executive officer, person nominated, or chosen to become a director or executive officer, etc., with, quote, the name and principal business of any corporation or other organization in which such occupations and employment were carried on, unquote. Attorney Frank Rosano, formerly at the SEC and now a partner at D.C. law firm Dickstein, Shapiro, Morin, and Oshinsky, says, I think it's pretty clear that you have to disclose your other directorships, unquote. Also citing item 401, Rosano explains that regardless of how material the omission turns out to be in other ways, it is a fortiori material, that is, the law defines it as material, quote, that information has to be disclosed, unquote. Rosano has a personal perspective on the collapse of the World Trade Center. He was there at the time. I was staying at the Marriott Hotel, which is between the North Tower and the South Tower, he says, under the building when it fell. It fell on my head, he comments rather matter-of-factly. Rosano was one of the lucky ones. He was in the hospital for 3 days with a subdural hematoma, which fortunately dissipated and resolved. Responding to questions, Rosano reiterates that that regulation clearly requires disclosure. Quote, I don't know why the information would be left out, unquote. He does not speculate the harm done, if any. I don't have any idea at all why it wouldn't have been included, unquote, and points out that mistakes are always possible. Marvin Bush has not responded to requests for comment. Bush left Stratasec's board in 2000 during the presidential election campaign and resigned from the boards of HCC and Fresh Del Monte in 2002. The exact date and cause of his resignation at Fresh Del Monte, along with Stephen Way, are undisclosed. BB&T analyst Heather Jones has noted Fresh Del Monte's quietness about the resignations of two outside directors. HCC announced Bush's resignation from its board in a press release on November 22, 2002, titled HCC appoints new director, unquote. Bush remains an advisor to the chairman and the board of directors and is still on HCC's investment committee. HCC suffered $29 million in net losses after September 11th, largely from World Trade Center-connected property losses, medical stop-loss payouts in New York City, and workers' compensation reinsurance losses, and exited the workers' compensation insurance business. With HCC's stock price dropping, Way, its CEO, exercised 350,000 stock options September 27, 2001, and another 350,000 HCC options a month later, selling the block of shares and acquiring comparable blocks at a lower price. L. Byron Way, HCC's vice president, explains in a telephone interview that HCC, quote, handled easily maybe a dozen or so coverages for the World Trade Center, unquote, mainly property and workers' compensation. The coverages go back well through the 1990s. However, given that the policies were rewritten annually, unquote, with different amounts of coverage from year to year depending on the type of coverage, Way is unable to say exactly when HCC became a carrier for the center or how much its exposure with the WTC totaled. With stakes that big, premiums can vary, Way explains, adding that all property coverages were done through the company's London office. The company has not responded to questions left with Way regarding Bush's proxy statements. According to Jeff Gallup, formerly with Stratasec's West Coast branch and now at LandTech Incorporated, Stratasec installed the initial security description at the center. Gallup speaks with close knowledge of the site. LandTech was one of the center's prime contractors, along with EJ Electric, which took over Stratasec's work, and I was intimately involved with World Trade Center security up to the day the FBI left my office with all the contents of the World Trade Center visitors database, 750,000 visitors badges. Gallup declines to say why Stratasec was excused from the project. But another former Stratasec executive who declined to be named links the change to the company's financial problems. Signs of those problems abounded long before its delisting on the American Stock Exchange in October of 2002. Some of the problems appear, from off-the-record comments by former personnel, to have been managerial style or personality differences. Previous management was eased out, as Gallup puts it, for the new management, including Bush, who came in with a massive infusion of capital from the Kuwait American Corporation in 1992. Wirt Walker, of the George Herbert Walker family name, according to the former executive, was also a principal in QAM. Stratasec left a trail of small tax liens against it in California, Texas, and Florida, and another paper trail of small court judgments for unpaid vendors. It has announced plans to negotiate its federal tax bill with the IRS and its state taxes with the Commonwealth of Virginia to cut its taxes by 9/10. The company received ample funding through the 1990s with several large contracts, including the World Trade Center, Dulles, and Reagan National Airports, capital infusions from two other companies following QAM, and millions through its 1997 IPO. However, it was linked topwise to another troubled company, Aviation General, where Wirt D. Walker III is also CEO. Michal Youssef Saud al-Sabah in the Kuwait royal family was also a principal in both QAM and Aviation General. Skipping down. An even bigger question than finance is public safety. Aviation General, formerly Commander Aircraft, has an international clientele. A 1996 press release announced its sale of airplanes to the National Civil Aviation Training Organization of Giza, Egypt, the sole civilian pilot training organization in Egypt, unquote. Which raises some interesting questions about the crash a few years back of an Egypt Air plane whose pilot was heard to be chanting the name of Allah as he went down. It's never been determined exactly what was going on, whether that was mechanical defect or suicide or a terrorism or whatever, but this certainly raises some interesting questions. That concludes For the Record program number 431, Desert Flowers, Part 2, More About the Bushes of Arabia. This is being recorded on October 27th of 2003. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.